Hello and welcome to another edition of The Talking Show. K-Chung Radio's best show of talking. My name is Steve Cato, and I'm here in the studio with the ebullient Nicholas Miller.
Hey, Steve Cato.
That's right. I have used that adjective before. That's right. I've called you the ebullient Nicholas Miller, maybe even twice already. It's perhaps just a sign of my feeble, failing mind that I actually can't think of any other really good adjectives.
That's okay.
That would actually still do justice to your character and not just be, you know, some adjective.
You could say charming.
That's right. Yeah, the old Gertrude Stein chestnut. That's right. That's right. A rose is a rose is a rose is a rose.
Yeah, and that book about Americans.
And you, Nicholas. K-Chung Radio's very own rose.
Right.
So, any of you who listened to the show and heard the show last week would know that there was a difference of opinion between Nicholas and I at the end of last week's episode.
Yeah, that's to put it lightly, I'd say.
Yeah. And things didn't get crazy. We didn't flip out. But I was unable to disguise my real feelings about the Beach Boys.
That's okay.
And about the way that Brian Wilson is treated as a figure in our culture.
Right.
And how that's a weird mask for questions of mental illness. How strange it is that that's how we choose to deal with people enduring certain things, suffering in certain ways. And also, on the flip side, the authoritarian strain in sort of middle brow cultural appreciation that has makes figures like Brian Wilson necessary in a way. If he himself didn't exist, someone else with an equally debilitating illness would have to be found to fill his place. Because in a way, I would argue that the authoritarian subtext underneath are sort of, for lack of a better word, bourgeois culture, late bourgeois culture, requires the existence of such a figure to fill exactly the role that they do fill.
Yeah. You know, another way to put it would be this culture you're talking about wants the idea of a genius, which is full of problems, and maybe in a better world could be torn away from the idea of a creative life, but doesn't really help you sell records.
So today we have Grammy Award-winning American improvisational comedy duo Nichols and May. And I think as analysts of this particular field of the sort of informed upper middle class culture consumer, university educated, etc. They have really, few people have really hit that nail on the head quite so accurately as they have. And they do it in an interesting way by casting backwards to a now past era in American culture, back to the 1950s, an era of prosperity in general, as we view it, of post-war optimism, sort of directly before you reached the post-war optimism of a Beach Boys time frame. So right in the thick of things, right on top of this knot of culture, if you will. So in our studio today, we have two incredible veterans of showbiz. After their career as a comedy duo, both Nichols and May went on to great things. Mike Nichols, as an actor, has been in all kinds of things. He's directed as well. He directed The Graduate, for example. He was on The Sopranos. He's, you know, really, really had an incredible career in Hollywood. And interestingly, Elaine May has had just as luminous a career. She's been nominated for Academy Awards as a screenwriter. She's written such movies as, you know, Reds, The Heartbreak Kid, Primary Colors, Heaven Can Wait. So many huge films. Dangerous Minds, honestly, Tootsie. So much, such an incredible sort of effect on a certain amount of Hollywood comedy. And she also directed Ishtar, for what it's worth. So, without further ado, we have Mike Nichols and Elaine May.
What are you going to be drinking, Miss Lemus?
Anything, I guess.
Should I order for you?
Oh, all right.
Probably like an Alexander. Ladies like them an awful lot, I noticed. I noticed 9 times out of 10.
They're a little sweet.
How about you like... I'll just add. Morris, bring us a couple of Rhine ginger ale, a Canadian club. All right. Thank you. That's a very, very careful job you did on that whole Mimeo deal, Miss Lemus. I wanted to commend you. I didn't want to do it in front of the other girls, you know, because once you start that stuff...
Oh, yes. Well, thank you very much.
It's just crystal clear. I didn't know that you could make that many copies and
have them
all clear.
Ran them on the mimeograph, and they came off.
They're just remarkable, really.
Well, thank you.
Because, I know that old Mimeo, it doesn't always behave that way.
You have to keep inking it.
Yes.
And then it works well, though.
But your average girl isn't going to care, you see.
Sometimes. I know a lot of the times, when I'm in the office and some of the girls are working on the mimeograph and I see that it's getting low on ink, I'll go up to them and I'll say, it's getting low on ink.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They'll just keep doing it and it'll be very, very faint copies.
Yeah, well, a lot of them just don't give a damn,
Well, it's, not so much they don't give it. I think that they're not so much lazy as they don't know how important it is,
Yes.
Because it is important, I think.
Well, if you get somebody like yourself who feels that we're all one family, which we are, then...
Yes. I think that that's just the wonderful thing about GAA and P, and that is that everybody is... you're not just going to a job and working. I mean, everyone is just so nice to you.
Thank you, Maris.
Thank you.
Well, that's the way we like the girls to feel. Drink up, honey. Miss Lemus, are you?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's a good rye. It's not nothing fancy, but it's...
In the drink?
Yes.
Yes, well, it's not... it doesn't bother you.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Yeah. Gee, it's awful nice to sit here with you. I tell you, my wife is up in the mountains. She goes every summer. She goes up to the mountains, and I just rattle around in a big apartment all by myself.
Oh, gee. If you close off some of the rooms sometime, if you can do that.
Just me and the hi-fi.
Well, it's very nice to have a hi-fi just for that reason. I mean, I just have a record player, but I know that sometimes when I'm alone at night, if I didn't have that record player, I'd really go out of my mind.
You like Andre Castellanets, Miss Lemus?
I really listen mostly to semi-classical
music. Yes, yeah. Me too. I just got a whole Castellanos thing playing Footlight Favorites, a lot of the semi-class stuff.
I really love music. I mean, I don't understand it or anything, but I know what I like, and
I'd like to play it for you if you're interested. I don't know. I could just hop up there and give it a whirl. I don't know.
to your apartment?
Yeah, well, you could get to see my dog, and he's kind of a cute little fella. That's an awful nice record. I just thought, you know, if...
Well, you mean tonight?
Yeah, it's right around the corner. I don't know, you know, if you wanted to just listen to the record for a second.
Well, what time is it?
Oh, it's just 9:15. You know, we got to still catch a train. It was just an idea, you know. Why don't you come up for just a second? I'll play you the record. You're really going to like it, I know.
I have to catch the train.
Morris, all right, that'll be our check, please. Thanks, fella.
I can only stay for just
Sure.
1 second.
Right, we'll just hop up and play the record, okay?
All right.
Sit down.
Yes?
I changed my seat because it was too warm.
I always travel with the window open.
It is dangerous to keep a window open. There is always flying smut.
It is not dangerous if you keep your elbows inside.
What did you say?
Elbows.
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 Then you are a grubby woman.
That's right. You are a fat man?
Yeah.
Listen. The squat man is dead.
What?
He died in Newport.
But I had a letter from the bald lady only yesterday.
It couldn't be helped. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Listen very carefully. Smile. Thank you, conductor.
I don't trust the conductor. He's very short.
Listen, we have very little time. In one moment we will come to the Norwalk Tunnel.
Yeah.
It will be dark for 1¾ seconds.
Yeah. Careful! The conductor is coming back.
Listen. When we go through the tunnel...
Yeah.
Reach down the back of my collar over my clavicle. Yeah. There is a ticket.
Yeah.
Take it quickly.
Yeah.
All right. We're coming to the tunnel.
Yeah. Shut up, you fool! You want to ruin everything!
Do you have it?
Yeah.
All right. Listen very closely.
Yeah.
When you go...
Yeah.
Tell them I asked for no starch.
No starch?
In the color.
No.
No starch.
It's impossible. It can't be done.
It must be done.
What about the cuffs?
Never mind the cuffs, fool.
But I have to specify.
No starch in the color. Smile.
Why is he so short?
Don't worry, he gets off the train at Bridgeport.
Then he is one of us?
Yeah.
I should have known.
Do you understand everything now?
Yeah. No starch in the cuffs.
Right.
No starch in the collar. Listen.
Yeah.
What about the spot?
The train will stop at Westport. Someone is supposed to get on. Do you know about it?
A good humor man.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Go to the good humor man.
Yeah.
Order a pecan crunch bar.
Yeah.
If the spots will not come out, he will say, I have no pecan crunch bars.
Yeah.
Then order a fudgicle.
Yeah. Fudgicle.
When you order the fudgicle,
yeah.
I will know that you will take the laundry with the spots.
All right, now listen.
Yes.
If the fudgicle melts onto my right trouser leg,
yeah.
It will be a sign that I need shirts
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, but that is impossible.
It must be done.
Impossible.
Go quickly now. We haven't much time.
All right.
Smile. Very nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Have a good time at the flower show.
I will give my best to everyone at the apiary.
Goodbye, madame.
Open wide, please. Looks all right to me. How does it feel?
Feels all right.
Have you had any trouble?
No trouble. It seems to have gone along very well.
Have you tried chewing on that side?
No, I haven't eaten at all. May I take my head off?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
You know, you might just try chewing on that side occasionally. Not all the time, of course, but just once or twice to see whether it'll stay in. I think it's ready.
I think I will chew when I leave here. I think I go somewhere and just chew and chew and chew. I've wanted to chew. God knows I've wanted to chew, but I... Don't you see, I didn't dare.
Yes, I think I understand.
I thought, what if it would come out, you know, and it would be naked, open.
You know what's happening, don't you?
Yes, I think I do.
I never meant for it to happen.
No, nor did I.
You know, when you first came into my office and said those few sad words about the tiny tooth in the back of your mouth that was hurting you, I think I felt something for that tooth even then that I wasn't meant to feel. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know that when I first came into your office, when I saw you standing there so stern in your white smock, I thought, he'll loathe me for having a cavity.
Oh, no, I didn't.
It will disgust him, I
thought. No, it didn't, Reba. Not only that it was a cavity, because dentists understand these things, but because it was your cavity, and I think even then I loved it. There, I've said it. I do love you. Let's not talk about it for just a moment.
Do you know, when you looked in my mouth and said, it's rotten, I thought, nothing can happen now. And yet when you looked at me, you didn't look at me as though I were a woman with a rotten tooth. You looked at me as though I were me. And for the first time, I knew who I was, me.
Oh, Reba, do you know that when I looked into that mouth, that I do love now, when I first looked down into that mouth and I saw that you were English clear through, I think I knew then that something that I didn't mean to happen was going to happen.
Please don't, Adolf. I'm going to put my head on.
No, you don't have to go. I've got something to tell you, Reba. I haven't told you before because there was no use. Seemed to me there was no sense upsetting you. But now I have to tell you. I'm going away.
Away?
Yes. I've taken a job as a dentist in the leper colony. I think it's best.
I see.
They offered me the job several times, and I thought, no, I don't think I want to live with a lot of lepers. But now that this has happened, I think I've got to go.
I think it's the right choice. I think that there are good lepers and bad lepers. I don't think you can lump them together. Adolf, I'm so glad you told me this, because when I found out what was happening, when I saw that Morris knew, he knows, you know, he does know.
Morris knows?
He's always known, I think.
Oh, I didn't want Morris to know.
No.
Because I like Morris so very much.
He likes you, too. He likes you so much, more than me, I think. Sometimes he chuckles when he talks about you. I wanted us so very much to be happy, all three of us, but it can't be, can it?
I don't want to do this to Morris. I don't think it's right.
I'm going away, Adolf.
You too?
I'm going to Saudi Arabia to become a dental assistant. I've never been a dental assistant
Reba,
before,
Reba,
don't you see?
You know nothing about teeth.
I know. But I think I can learn, don't you see? I think that if I can teach one Saudi Arabian the rules of dental hygiene as I have learned them.
Oh, Reba. If it were possible, if I thought it could be, that I have taught you something about teeth that you can pass on to Arabians.
Oh, Adolf, I know more about oral prophylactics now than I've ever known about anything.
Oh, Reba, then it hasn't been wasted.
No.
All that time in the rowboat talking about upper and lower and back and front.
No, I heard every word. Do you know, I always thought of myself as sort of a grey, stodgy kind of woman, a sort of English Oxford sort of woman. And inside, you know, I'm not that sort of woman.
No, no, I know you're not.
I'm a different kind of woman.
Oh, Reba.
I'm not just an English woman.
Oh, Reba, I know now that I'm going to make those lepers very happy. Because, do you see, because I'll be a happy dentist.
I hope that you make those lepers as happy as you've made this dental assist. I'm sorry. I'm crying, aren't I?
That's all right, Reba. I think every Englishman must cry just once or twice. Goodbye, Reba.
Goodbye, Adolf.
As a boy in Youngstown, the voices of the poets cried quick. They do not cry today. When I was a boy, the voices of the poets cried loud, cried truth. They do not cry no more.
Today there is no more but the echo, the wild throng of wild crowds with their poo-poo-padoo and Rudy too. Do you wear a tattoo? Do you see the USA in your Chevrolet and see those voices alive in images, no longer echoes, but begging, crying for something more than the slogan of an artless age?
You did it, you son of a gun in your gray flannel suit. You drowned the poets, the flannel in the mouth choking the voice of the silver bird that cries no more. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. You get a lot to like in the Marlboro.
Smoke cools,
and Roto-Rooter sewer service, Roto-Rooter sewer service. Drowning the voice of those no longer here.
Delcy is lanolin soft, and in that softness sinks the weight of the world, crushed beneath endless scotch and sodas, crushed beneath Pernod, crushed beneath gin and tonic, crushed, crushed like a little dead brown field muse.
Where are they now? Where is Emily Dickinson, Sarah Teasdale?
Where is Robert Frost, Edgar Guest, that whole crowd?
Where are they now? You did it, you son of a gun. You did it, and they are gone. And the song ends. And the song ends. One more.
You know it very well.
Better than myself in some ways.
It's beautiful.
It has a fantastic peace.
Yes. It's serene. It has a kind of mathematical certainty that's almost sensual to me.
Yes, an order, a finality, finally.
Organization.
She plays it with just incredible clarity.
Yes, she does.
Yes. Yes. I remember I used to have to sneak in my room to hear it when I was a kid. You know, my family was your usual, you know, dull bourgeois family, of course. And there was really very little else for me.
Yeah. I guess my story is the same. My family was middle class,
yeah, sure.
Ordinary.
Yeah.
And there was
no relating. There was proximity, but no relating.
Well, no, it can't be. The pressures are just incredible.
And of course, I had a great many difficulties, which I've been trying to resolve.
Yes, and I think you are. I mean, I haven't known you that long, but...
Yeah.
You know, when you consider the... Well, the ambivalence of the woman's role today...
Oh, it's incredibly ambivalent. It's so hard to resolve. It's so hard to acknowledge the fact that aggressiveness need not be hostile.
That's right, yes, no. Adler was no fool.
No. I always thought of him as a fool, but he said some good things.
Yes, no, I've reread him recently. There are insights there.
Yeah. Too many people think of Adler as a man who made mice neurotic. No. He was more.
Much more. Can you move over a little? I'm falling off the bed.
I'm sorry.
A great deal more.
Yes, he was. I like this.
Oh, yes.
Marry
yes,
her?
Yes. Yes. An amazing comment.
Yes, the social insight. You'd think that music would inhabit, you know, because it's not verbal.
Yes,
but
yes, you know, when Huxley has Turton committing suicide to the last movement of the 15th, I understand that so well.
Oh.
Because not that it has any programmatic content.
No.
Just the...
There is always another dimension to music. And it's apart from life.
Yeah.
I can never believe that Bartok died on Central Park West.
Isn't that ugly?
Ugly, ugly, ugly.
You got enough room?
Yeah, I do nothing.
You want the pillow?
No. No, I have my problems in relating. I do.
Yeah, well, which of us doesn't?
But I think I can work through them. I've been trying.
I think a relationship is so difficult.
Oh.
I mean, you try and fail and try and fail. But to... Try to get a dynamic approach to it so that there are no absolutes necessary for your own,
yes,
you know, power satisfaction.
Well, of course, there are no absolutes in a relationship.
No, that's the thing to be remembered always and always.
Oh, I love this part.
Yes, here.
Yes.
Almost hurts.
Yes. Beauty often does.
Yes. What a shock when I discovered Nietzsche, and he said that in a way.
In many ways. When I read Thus Spake Zarathustra...
Yes.
A whole world opened for me.
I know exactly what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, did that happen to you, too?
I know exactly what you mean.
I had never known such things existed.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
Just yes.
A door opening...
Can I have a cigarette?
Yeah, they're in my pocket.
No, I'll go get them.
No, I'll get them. Just wonderful. I don't often say this, but, you know, for the whole last 2 hours, I really have had my anxiety allayed.
Really?
No anxiety.
I feel, when we were talking in the bar, that we've made an adjustment so rapidly.
So quickly.
Yes. I think we're going to have a relationship.
I think we are. Enjoy your meal?
Oh, I love Chinese food.
Do you?
Yeah.
2, 3.
What was in your fortune cookie?
Just said that I was gonna take a long trip.
Oh. Whoops, lost you.
I bet you don't know your zone.
Pardon?
I was just saying, I bet you don't know your postal zone. I was talking with a couple of the fellas today. Nobody knows his zone.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. Isn't that funny? I don't. And I lived in the same place for years and years, and I don't.
It's something you just don't remember.
Yeah. Oops.
Sorry.
I keep losing.
Yeah. There's a lot of things like zones, you know, that you're not going to remember, but...
No.
Your zone, you wanna...
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if somebody is gonna write to you, know, so many times people have said, what is your address and what is your zone?
Yeah, and you
and,
didn't
you know
it.
I have never known what it was.
Yeah.
And it gets there faster.
2, 3, what? Faster when you say what the zone is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, they sort it that way.
You dipped?
They sort it by zone.
The mailman, yes. Yeah.
So it's going to be faster.
Yeah. Have you been up here long?
No, it's my first week.
It's sunny.
Would you like to try a little ping pong?
Love to.
Olay.
Now, Gladys, try and remember.
I can't.
There must have been something. What happened on that day that you lost the use of your legs?
Nothing.
Try and remember, child, there's nothing organically wrong with your legs.
Nothing happened. It was just an ordinary day. I got up. I got dressed for my sister's wedding.
For your sister's wedding?
Yeah.
Your sister got married that day?
Yeah.
But that's very strange.
Why? She was 23.
Gladys, you never told me about your sister.
Oh, really?
Tell me now.
Funny. I usually talk about her all the time. She's my younger sister, Marion. Didn't I ever mention her before? Oh, she's my favorite person in all the world. I just love her more than anybody in the world. She's a very, very beautiful girl. If you saw her, you'd never look at me again. She's just so gorgeous. She always was. She was born perfect. You know, I was this very ugly child. You know, I was very fat, and I didn't grow at all until I was 10 years old. And she was just born gorgeous, you know. And I remember even when I was a kid, my mother used to say to me, "You're the ugly duckling, Gladys." And Marion, oh, she was. She was just gorgeous. And I remember my parents used to give her all my toys and everything. And we used to share everything, you know. I mean, all my clothes and my friends. And I just loved doing it, you know, because, I just love her so much. You never know how I just love her. I really do. I love her very, very much.
What happened on the day of her wedding, child?
She got married. That's all.
Did anything go wrong for your beautiful sister that you loved?
No. Nothing ever goes wrong for Marion. Wait a minute. Funny, I forgot this completely.
There was something.
Yes. Yes, a terrible thing happened, as a matter of fact. Really awful thing happened to her. As she was going down the aisle, she slid on a banana peel and tripped over her foot and right on her face. It was just, terrible thing.
She fell.
Yeah, she fell. It was awful to see. It just ruined the wedding.
Gladys.
Yes?
Do you remember carrying a banana that day?
No. Not that day. Why do you ask?
Try and think, child. Try.
This is really insane. But that day...
There was a banana.
Yeah. This is very funny. I remember that day, when I was eating my Rice Krispies, I always have them. That day, for some reason, I put the peel in my purse rather than throwing it out. Isn't that a crazy coincidence?
What kind of a foot did your sister trip over?
Well, it was just a foot. Strange foot, in a way. It was a woman's foot.
Yes.
It was The biggest foot I'd ever seen.
Yes.
It was an immense foot. And the second toe was almost 2 inches longer than the first. I remember seeing the toes because the foot was wearing sandals. Dirty, white sandals.
My child, I think we're beginning to discover something. Now think.
Yes?
Who do you know that has an immense foot with the second toe 2 inches longer than the first?
Nobody.
Who do you know, Gladys?
Nobody. I
who do you know?
Nobody at all. There's no one who has a foot like that except me.
Except you.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Gladys, you dropped that banana peel.
Oh, no.
And your sister skidded and tripped over your own immense foot.
No, no.
You hated your sister.
No, I love her.
You wanted her to trip.
No, it was an accident.
And you felt so guilty when she did that you lost the use of your legs.
No, no.
You hated her, Gladys.
No, no.
You hated her.
No, I love her. No, 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 no. You're right. Yes. You're right. I see. I hate her. I hate her now. That vapid, beautiful face, I hate it. Hate it. Hate it. I hate it.
Gladys, this is wonderful.
Hate.
Do you see, child?
Kill.
Now that you understand.
Hate.
There's no reason you can't walk.
Kill.
You understand now, Gladys.
Yes.
You see.
Yes.
You can walk, child. Give me your hand, I'll help you at first. Give me your hand and walk.
I can't move my arms.
Elsie?
Yes, Daddy?
Come and sit by Daddy.
All right, Daddy.
Sweetheart, I know I told you the last time I went away that I was going to stay home for a long, long time, but sometimes we can't keep our promises.
Are you going away, Daddy?
Daddy has to go away, and I want you to be a good girl and take care of your mommy.
Well, where are you going, Daddy?
Well, I have to go on a long, long trip, but I'll write you every week, sweetheart, and...
Well, could I visit you and everything? And...
No, honey, I'm sorry. I'll write you, and I'll send you a tennis racket. You always wanted a tennis racket, didn't you?
Yes. And would you send me a tennis ball, too, with it?
Yes.
Daddy?
Yes, sweetheart.
Is that why Mommy was crying last night, because you're going away?
I guess so.
You're crying, too, Daddy.
Grown-ups cry sometimes, sweetheart.
But, Daddy, why do you have to go away? Why couldn't you just stay here with Mommy and me like you said you was going to?
Well, sweetheart, your daddy had a kind of an argument last week with your Uncle Roscoe and your Uncle Lefty. And if he doesn't go away... Those men outside are... Well, they're going to send him to that place where we visited Grandpa, you remember?
Yes. The penitentiary.
That's right, sweetheart.
But, Daddy, why did you fight with Uncle Roscoe? Don't you like Uncle Roscoe?
Well, maybe when you're a little older, honey, you'll understand. You ask your mommy and you ask your Uncle Six Fingers...
Mommy liked Uncle Roscoe. Uncle Roscoe used to be here all the time when you was away, and now he doesn't come here anymore.
Sweetheart,
Daddy has to go now.
But Daddy, before you go, listen, you could, when you send me, well, listen, when I could write you letters too, because, you know, I could print now and everything.
Yes, I know, sweetheart.
And, but Daddy, would you call me on the telephone? Would you? And then you wouldn't have to send me the tennis racket if you, could you call me on the telephone?
Goodbye, Elsie.
Daddy.
Goodbye, sweetheart.
Miss you.
You take care of your mommy.
But I miss you, Daddy.
You be a good girl.
Daddy. Don't go away, Daddy. Don't go away. Well, there he goes again.
Wow.
Yeah, that was great. Those guys are geniuses.
Yeah. So, what do you think of that, Nicholas?
Completely genius. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing anything like that myself. And at such an early point in their creative development, you know, I'm stuck on the word genius.
Right, and don't you think it's interesting that as a comedic approach, it's in a way much closer to like rap skits than most of what we would call sort of cutting edge comedy now, like, I don't know, or even mainstream, you know, like Louis C.K. or something like that. It's quite different than Louis C.K. Or even the sort of direct slapstick or descendant from slapstick, maybe, of like Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job, that kind of thing. Yeah,
it was like parlor humor, something that, you know, you could do as a duet in your living room almost.
Yeah, I know, and it's interesting to think about how incredibly popular this style of comedy was at the time.
Yeah, it's weird to think that anything as unspectacular could have been well received.
Yeah,
I mean, Tim and Eric is spectacular.
Yeah, really strange. Really, really strange.
Incredibly strange. And genius.
And yet, how well it worked, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're no strangers here on the Talking Chateau to the beauty of simplicity.
Well, that is actually a really interesting observation. I think that's actually maybe a pretty valid critique of how that moment has passed almost nothing down to us really in the present. I mean, other than perhaps them actually more accurately, especially in the piece on Bach, skewering people like you or I than anyone else, but it's almost unrecognizable as comedy. People would just accept that as NPR now.
Yeah. I mean, the edge is dulled down even less than NPR.
Exactly, yeah. People would just listen to that as actual, like,
talking,
cultural commentary.
Yeah, they would just take it as somebody doing a talking bit.
But That's true. I don't want to be one of these "it was better before" kind of guys, because that's not, in fact, the case. It was just bad in different ways then.
Still bad.
That's right.
We always will be.
That's right.
But you know, there's good talking out there, right, Steve?
Good point. So on that interesting note,
let's say goodnight, Steve.
That's me, Steve Cato.
And me, Nicholas Miller.
And we're gonna sign off tonight. Thanks to our amazing guests, Mike Nichols, Elaine May. Thank you guys so much for coming out here. I know that, you know, it's late for people of your great eminence, and I'm glad that you guys could make it out here all the way to the east side from, you know, the west side, where you guys do, in fact, live sometimes.
Yeah, where it's 10 degrees cooler every day.
Okay. Take care. Good night, everyone.
Good night.